bringing greetings from Victory. It's going to be one of them days. Victory Baptist Church in Cortland, Virginia. I'd invite your attention to Ephesians, the first chapter. That's where I'll be taking my text from. I want to thank the church for the invitation, being gracious to me once again. Oh, country boy, doesn't have the education some of you have, don't have the natural talents, but I do have one thing. Yeah. I have a great God. Yeah. And so, and that's sufficient. Amen. That's sufficient for what I want to do. Amen. My subject today will be glorifying God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and I come. Lord, I come looking for your sufficiency. I bring my availability, depending on your ability. You've promised. I'm counting on that. Fill us with your Spirit. Each one of us, me that I might speak, and all of us that we might receive, and walk in the light of your word. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a pretty lengthy passage here for a conference anyway. Our time is precious. And it gets gone quickly, but it's important. I don't know if we do anything more important than read God's word. Amen. Ephesians, the first chapter and the third verse. And I want you to understand that Ephesians, the first chapter, God has given us his purpose for us, for creation. You know, he's been kind enough to tell us what he's all about, what he wants. And in this, three times, not only do you see his purpose, but you see why he's doing it. And I will highlight that a little bit as we go. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Right. To the praise of the glory of his grace. There is your first one. Yeah. He's doing this to the praise of the glory of his grace.
Amen. Amen.
His grace is one of his attributes. Mm-hmm. Let us go on. Wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. I'll read that again. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Amen. That, I've learned that that word that is very important.
Yes.
The Lord's telling us something when he says that. I mean, he's laid some things out, sort of like we're for and therefore. He's told us something. Now he says that. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory.
Yeah.
There it is. You know, he's doing all this, that we should be to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Have you ever wondered why God does what he does? Why did he create us? He knew before he created us that we were going to sin.
Right.
He knew that it was going to require the death of his own son to redeem us.
Right.
Why did he do it anyway? Would you have done it if it was going to cost your dear child? Here he tells you, and all the workings of these things is going to be to the praise of his glory. God is so glorious, he had to share that glory with some. So in our text, we're given God's eternal will, which he purposed in himself. Three times we see the phrase, to the praise of his glory, or to the praise of the glory of his grace. There. God is adamant about his glory. He's very adamant about that. It's very important to him.
Yes.
We have heard that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Amen.
And to this, Scripture agrees. It's not just in catechism. Catechism got it from Scripture. To this, Scripture agrees that our chief end is to glorify God.
Amen.
And to enjoy him forever. Do you understand that is your chief end? Sometimes we get way off kilter about what our purpose is in life. But this brings up two important questions. First, what is glory? And the second is, how do we glorify God? Now, if we are to glorify God, it's important that we know how to do that. You know, they say, oh, blind hog can find an acorn every now and then. But it's only every now and then. We won't be about this all the time, so we need to be educated. We need to know what it means to glorify God. How can we glorify God? Would you agree that's important?
Amen.
The first question, what is glory? Glory, in a common language, is that we exalt in. In everyday language, that which we take pride in. And I know you're going to have some trouble with my language there, but find a better word and I'll use it. You understand. The preacher's, his duty is to convey a message. You know, so there you are. It's what you take pride in or esteem highly. In 1 Corinthians 11:15, we have this verse. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her.
Amen.
We understand what they're saying there. And that tells us a little bit about what glory is. So now, if that's glory, what does God glory in? What does he esteem highly? Or ask another way, when Moses requested of God, show me thy glory, what did God reveal to him? Because that was his question.
Yes.
Lord, show me thy glory. This is it. The glory of God is the sum and substance of his intrinsic, eternal perfections.
Amen.
God revealed to Moses his attributes. He said, this is who I am. He revealed his name. He says, I'm merciful, gracious, long-suffering, compassionate, full of grace and truth. He just opened it up and said, here I am. Behold. That's in Exodus 34. And if you've never spent much time there, oh, You've got some riches coming to you if you will spend some time there. There are, God's attributes, there are two kinds, you might say, of attributes that God has. Those which belong to God alone, and you and I cannot share in them. He is immutable. He's the all-powerful being, the only all-powerful sovereign being in the world. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. And he's completely self-sufficient.
Amen.
These belong to God alone. But there is a second group which consists of these attributes right here, which he does bestow upon us in greater or lesser extent, but he does share these attributes with us. His holiness, his righteousness, his love, his mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, his compassion, his kindness, his faithfulness. These are part of the divine nature, which we are to receive and emulate.
Yeah.
All his will and all his works flow from his nature, his attributes.
Mm-hmm.
He sent his Son to die in our place instead to redeem us, because God is love. You won't find any reason when you look in the mirror. You'll find reason for him not to.
Right.
And his grace did it anyway.
Right.
It's his attributes which compels God to do what he does.
Right.
So now we come to the question, how do we glorify God? What we cannot do is add to his intrinsic, eternal perfection. You know, we can. If you try to add anything or subtract anything from perfection, that's no longer perfection.
Right.
So we cannot do that. So we have to look in a different direction if we are to glorify God, which we are to do in our life, is it not? What we are called to do is to manifest God in all his glorious perfections before others.
Amen.
We can't add to his perfections, but we can reveal his perfections. That's what we're to do, to tell everyone in every way that we have a great God and direct everybody's attention to him.
Amen.
That is what we do to glorify God. Let's look at some of the avenues which we have whereby we can glorify God. And the first one I want to mention, and you can turn there. I would like for you to turn there in Romans, the fourth chapter. Because this is one of a couple places in the Bible where it talks about what was done to glorify God. Now, we know there's other places, but it's explicit here. You know the story, some of the background in the fourth chapter is talking about Abraham. And it comes down to I believe about the 18th verse, I'll follow in right there. But God is talking to Abraham. And Abraham's an old man by now. He's 99 years old. And his wife Sarah is 90. And they've tried to have children. And they've tried to have children. And it's beyond hope now from a natural standpoint. Absolutely beyond hope. I mean, Sarah couldn't when she was young. And now they're both old. But verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope. This is speaking of Abraham. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. If you'll give me some liberty here, I think I can help you, or at least I understand it this way. He being not weak in faith, it says he considered not his own body. I think Abraham did consider his own body and did consider Sarah. But he also considered this. God said, this time next year, Sarah's going to have a son by you. And he says, well, whatever I look at about my body doesn't matter. God said it.
Amen.
And that was good enough. And I believe he turned to Sarah and said, go fix a baby blue room in there. We're going to have a son this time next year.
Amen.
He believed God. You know, he saw what everybody else could see. He knew from a natural standpoint, no. But he knew his God was able. And so what does it say? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Friends, if you believe God, that gives glory to God. There's few things you can do in this world that will glorify your God as much as believe in him. Trust in him. You're in Romans 8th chapter. Turn over to the 8th chapter. We were just there, but we'll go there again. That's a full, rich chapter.
Yeah.
In Romans 8, 28. We're very familiar with this. We quote it to people when they get in trouble. And don't like it quoted to us when we're in trouble. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know, do we? And we know that all things, is that, you know, does that all things include all things?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I read it in my Bible. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, it didn't say all things were good. It did not say that, but it says God is working all things together for good. But don't stop there because, you know, it's not complete yet. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his, there's that word purpose, you know. I started out talking to you about God's purpose. If God's able to work all things together for good, then why do we wring our hands when something happens? It's unbelief. It's a measure of unbelief every time we do that.
It is.
You know, when Joseph was down, his brothers threw him in the pit, then dug him out, sold him as a slave. He went to Potiphar's house. Things turned and started looking pretty good for a little while, and then Potiphar's wife started looking at him. And she came, and she tried her best to entice him, but he would have none of it. He said, how can I do this great evil and sin against my God? You're not going to find many instances in the Bible where God was glorified as much as there.
Right.
Though there was hardly anybody else there to see it. But God's recorded in our word. And when the three Hebrew children would not bow down by faith, they said, yeah, look, we're not even careful how we're going to answer you. Our God is able. Our God is able. And the king didn't think so, but God was glorified there. And the king's eyes were open. Job, in all his hardships, he come down to this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This is a kind of faith that glorifies God. In spite of your circumstances, you're still saying, my God is my God and I will serve him. Amen. He is worthy. Yeah. You know, when Nathan come to David after he had done what he done with Bathsheba, you know what the real charge he had against him? You remember what it was? Let me just read it to you right here. The serious charge here. He says, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. David dishonored his God. Every act of faith honors your God, and every act of unbelief dishonors your God. The chief end of man is to glorify God, and you cannot do that without faith, without walking by faith. Glorify God in this. In our hardships, when tragedies come, when things happen, you know what God's doing? God's giving you a great opportunity to glorify him. Will you do it in these times? It's easy to glorify God when everything is just going hunky-dory.
Right.
It's during the hard times that it's very difficult to continue and glorify God. Some of these are very closely tied to another way you can glorify God, and that is by obedience. Samuel told Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. If you disobey God, you're saying, no, I'm not really your subject. You're not really Lord in this area. If he indeed is Lord, you'll obey him.
Amen.
In all things. Obedience does glorify God, and disobedience dishonors our Lord. Another area is by living in dependence. Now that's two words, just in case you've tripped over that. It's not living independent, but living in dependence upon God.
Amen.
Everything you do in your own strength, you're telling God, I've got this. I can handle this. And it's not so. Christ told us without him, we could do nothing. You heard the definition of nothing. I think as Ravi Zachariah heard him say one time, the definition of nothing is what rocks dream about. And that's what God tells us you can do without him. But through Christ, you can do all things. The world is not too impressed with your ability. And God's not impressed at all. It's your availability. God has all ability. It's your availability that's precious to him. If you want to go out and do your own thing in your own strength, you're really dishonoring God. You're not honoring him by doing that. Another way open to us is by being conformed to his image. Brother Troy, in his little sermon that he didn't preach just a few minutes ago, mentioned that. Brother, picking at you a little bit. But when you said that, I thought that's of the Spirit of God. You did right. And the song y'all sang too, it was right there. The Spirit of God laid it out right before I was to speak this. But another way for us to glorify God is by our being conformed to the image of Christ. We're to do this. That's, you know, if you continue reading in Romans 8:28 and then 8:29, as our brother spoke, you know, it says there, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, be conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means that you start behaving like Christ.
Right.
So that Christ can see, can be seen in you. Christ in you. And there again, that's a hope of glory.
Yes, amen.
We are to be holy. We are to be just. We are to be righteous. We are to be merciful. We are to be gracious. We are to be kind. We are to be long-suffering. We are to be compassionate. All traits of God. Traits that are part of the divine nature which he does share with us. And certainly we are to love others. And here's a standard. Even as God loves us.
Amen.
Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, even as. Well, that's rough, isn't it? That's a high standard. But anything less dishonors God, and every time we let Christ take control, it honors God.
Amen.
And I must add this one, and there's several more. Praise. Praise honors God. Psalms 50, verse 23 says, "Whoso offereth praise, glorifieth me." Do you praise God? Let me ask you this. I trust you're all praying people. I trust you know that God has given you a high privilege. You can go to the throne where decisions really are made.
Amen.
But override anything that happens in Washington.
Right.
You've got access. And God didn't just say, well, okay. No, he said, come. Come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come. Now, when we do come and we pray for healing. We pray for wisdom. We pray for knowledge. We pray because we're in distress. Whatever we're praying for. We pray, and oftentimes we pray for a long time. And then I'm sure all of y'all surely have seen the miraculous answers to prayer.
Amen.
When he did answer, did you praise him as long as you prayed for this answer? Or did you say, oh, praise God, just go on?
Right.
Was it hollow words then, even? I am guilty sometimes of praying about something, and the Lord just, you know, it looks like, hey, this could be an issue right here, you know? Lord, hold it before him. And then it just, you know, just slides on by, gone. Lord took care of it. And then a day or two later, I realized, hey, you know, the Lord took care of that, and I didn't even say, Lord, I praise you for that. I'm guilty, and I suspect you are too.
Yeah.
But when you praise God for what he has done, that glorifies him. Yeah. Heaven is full of praise of God. You read the fifth chapter of Revelation, and that's what they're doing. They're just praising. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
Yeah. And if we won't, we dishonor God. To fear God, to live a holy life, to walk circumspectly, to do his will, these are practical ways in which we can fulfill our chief end, which is to glorify God. They're all commandments from God's word. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us this. Whether therefore you eat or drink, them just common everyday things in life. He says, you know, we all do them, saved and unsaved. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So there has to be a way we can do We can eat and we can drink and do whatever we do to the glory of God. And there has to be a way that we can do it that does not glorify God. It's God's purpose for you to glorify Him.
Amen.
It's God's command to you to glorify Him. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. And unless and until we learn to glorify God, we will not come to that last part. We will not enjoy Him forever until we learn to praise our God for who He is. Because when we see our God for who He is, just like Isaiah, we'll see ourselves for who we are.
Amen.
And then you will really learn to exalt your God and abase yourself. And this is some of our problem, isn't it? We don't really want to abase ourselves.
That's right.
But this is key to your joy in your Christian walk. And I will add this. To the degree you fulfill your purpose of glorifying God, there is a direct correlation between that and your future glory and inheritance. If you will not, as a child of God, glorify God now, you will find that the glory that you have then will not be as it could have been. You're not going to lose your salvation if you're a child of God. But as one star different from another star in glory, the degrees of glory that we're going to have will differ, as many different degrees as what there are children of God. We all have our opportunities to obey God, to depend on God, to live by faith, to emulate God. It's how you receive these things and then how you live in light of them.
Right.
It's important. It has eternal importance. God is worthy, whether if you're interested or not.
Amen. Amen.
But when you stand before Him, that will be of utmost interest. That will be of utmost interest. May I quickly say something to the lost that's here? If you're lost, you too have the same obligation to glorify God. You're not out from under this by any means. And if you continue on in your life and this life is over and you have not bowed the knee to Him, even the wrath of God shall praise Him.
Right.
You will bow the knee,
yeah,
but it'll be too late then.
Yeah.
God, in His glory, sent His Son to die in the place of sinners. It was His mercy, His grace, His love, His kindness, and it was His righteousness and His holiness and His justice that you see on the cross on behalf of lost sinners. And He says, come unto Me. Come unto Me. If we will repent, if we will believe, if we will receive Him, that will be your first act of ever glorifying God.
Amen.
And then you can carry on from there. But if you will not, there'll come a day where you will bow the knee.
Amen.
And you will glorify Him in your eternal ruin. God is sovereign.
Amen.
He will have his glory one way or another. Do you know him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? This is serious, friends. And if you do know him and you have received him, are you glorifying him in the way that you live your life? Not just lip service, but absolute submission in all things. I thank you for the opportunity of coming. I think I'll quit right there. I think that's best I quit right there. Lord bless you. Thank all these guys. Stand and sing hymn number 210. Hymn number 210.
Message. You may be seated for just a moment. Our ladies may go out and